Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. If you are listening today within these United States, then I am stating the obvious to say this is Independence Day, July the 4th. If you join us from around the world, do not give up on this. What I say will have application to the place in which you live, I think. Since this is a holiday, we will begin our new summer series focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow. On Friday, we finish chapter 14 of Genesis in the life of God and Abraham. We will continue with Genesis in September, but for the months of July and August, our focus will be Jesus, and our text is in the New Testament. Do plan to be with us tomorrow and in the days and weeks that follow, and invite someone you know to come along with you. This could be a family member, a friend, a colleague, or someone from your church or synagogue. Confident that God speaks through His Word, the Bible, I believe with my heart that if God wants someone to hear this broadcast and podcast, then that person will get it one way or the other. This is what I pray for. And the Holy Spirit may just use you to introduce another person to us as we continue to discover who God is. Will you be willing to be used like that? I hope so. As I sit here and reflect on this Independence Day, I must say my heart breaks for the people of these United States, and I'll tell you why. The spiritual condition of our country is bad. It is really very bad. As a whole, as a nation, taken together as a people, we have abandoned God. We have betrayed Him, and we are now in a dark place where our sinfulness is so full-blown that it is hard to see how we can come back from this. I have in mind the questions Job asks as he speaks of the wicked of his time and generation. These are the words of Job in the book by his name, Job chapter 21, verses 14 and 15. They say to God, "Depart from us. We do not even desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what would we gain if we entreat Him?" Is that not an apt description of what hundreds of millions of people think of God today? Let me read that again so that you can absorb this and think about it. Job, describing the wicked, says, "They say to God, 'Depart from us. We do not even desire the knowledge of your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what would we gain if we entreat Him?'" What an evil thing to say to God, "Depart from us." This is where that fierce independent streak in the American heart is so dangerous. Instead of acknowledging and living within our total dependence upon the living God, we say, "We want independence from you. Depart from us." Furthermore, there is no desire to know God's ways. Where is the fear of, the reverential awe for God among us? Now you might say, "Do not be so negative and skeptical, Mark. Despite how it looks, God is doing great things beneath the surface. Our church is growing. I know people who are repenting of sin and trusting in Christ for salvation. My pastor just baptized some new believers." My response to this is to be very encouraged indeed. I trust in the sovereignty of God. I do have the faith to believe that He is still redeeming men and women and children from sin. And I rejoice with you that this is happening where you are. In fact, if this is happening, write to me and tell me about it. But I am speaking of the majority opinion on God at this hour. Job 21, verse 15. "Who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what would we gain if we entreat Him?" Who is the Almighty? I recently had a conversation with extended family members who are teenagers, and it emerged in discussion that they had absolutely no clue about even basic facts, stories within the Bible. Who is the Almighty? They honestly have no idea. And so therefore, why should they serve Him? When I told them what I do, they could not even fathom it. The closest their understanding would take them, unfortunately, was to some heretical television preachers who I want to distance myself very far away from. And then, of course, that popular attitude still about God, which many health, wealth, and prosperity TV preachers preach, what would we gain if we entreat Him? In other words, what do I get from God? How can I use Him to get myself a better life? The attitude is a far cry from, oh, please tell me about God so that I might serve Him. What can I do for Him? The feeling is, if there is any sensitivity at all, what can I get from God? It's all about me. These are sinfully selfish days. I know it may sound that my attitude is to sit here and moan, to complain, to somehow pine for the good old days when Americans worshipped, honored, and exalted God, wishing to have been alive then. But that is actually not my mood. To guard against doing exactly this, here are two practices I try to keep. First, allow my heart to be broken and saddened by such apostasy, this abandonment of God. Do not allow my heart to become angry, bitter, and severely judgmental of the majority of people who love not God. I will continue to be honest. It is easy to be enraged at the in-your-face paganism we have. It is easy to want to fight back, to scream, to protest, and to become so jealous of God that I end up down at the lowest level in an uncivil discourse with those that hate God. But this is not the way I am supposed to act, according to Jesus. Oh, how many times does the Holy Spirit have to convict me with the words of Christ? You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. That is Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. Matthew 5, 43 to 45. I hear those words ringing in my ears and crying out of my soul whenever I want to rant and rave against the culture. My Lord says, pray for these people. Love these people. This is how you will prove yourself to be God's son, Mark. And I have found that at least one other verse keeps coming to mind when I am feeling angry. This is the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And just when I am feeling like I am the judge and jury on the godless whom I live among, Romans 12:19 sobers me up. Revenge and vengeance is not mine, it is the Lord's. God is judge and jury, and there is judgment on America. The wrath of God, I believe, is already upon us as a nation, and we must leave wide room for God to act. How am I to act? I must pray for those who have turned their fists up at Holy God and have said, we have no use of you. This is my second practice, pray. I persistently pray for God to spiritually revitalize, renew, and revive the people of our country and, yes, of your country, the world. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We read this and we who speak and read English think, okay, I ask once and God will give what I ask for. I seek once and I will immediately find. I knock on God's door one time and poof, he opens the door. But in the Greek language, this actually reads, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Not once, no. Ask, seek, and knock repeatedly, persistently, and over again. Am I? Are you? Are we who know God and love him and want to see others in relationship with Jesus? Are we persistently and consistently before our Heavenly Father in prayer, begging him for spiritual renewal and revival in our land? I find that it is easy to complain. It is hard to pray. It is easy for me to be irritated. It is hard for me to intercede. It is easy for me to lament. It is hard for me to lean into God and to pursue him as persistently as that widow Jesus tells us about who hounded that judge. Do you know that parable? It's found in Luke chapter 18. The Bible says Jesus told this parable to show that at all times the disciples ought to pray and not lose heart. Bringing application, Jesus says, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? The answer is God will act. We must pray. Our command is to allow our hearts to be broken by the spiritual state of our land and to feverishly keep on praying that in God's wrath he will remember his mercy and he will redeem some more before his severest and most justified punishment falls. From my heart, this is my Independence Day reflection. Let me know what yours are, and then join me again tomorrow, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.